Negotiations to reopen the federal government teetered this week as the shutdown became the longest in U.S. history. In the meantime, Tuesday's elections brought resounding wins for Democrats across several states. For analysis of all this and more, we turn now to Capehart and Gorman. That is Jonathan Capehart of MSNBC and Republican strategist Matt Gorman. David Brooks is away. Good to see you both. Thanks
for
being
here. Good to see you.
All right, let's start off with some of the takeaways from those elections. We heard President Trump earlier this week articulate the concern, Jonathan, that his party lost some of those key elections because they're being blamed for the shutdown. Democrats, meanwhile, riding this wave of wins. Do you feel like both sides are taking away the right message? Should Democrats dig in right now?
I don't know if they should dig in. I understand the impulse to do that. Maybe dig in because the president's out there saying out loud, much to Republicans' consternation, the shutdown's hurting us, affordability, a lot of things that the Republicans did not talk about in these elections running up. I do think that I don't understand why Republicans, and I'm thinking of Senate Majority Leader John Thune, why they are not working really hard, sitting down with Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, calling in Jeffries, calling in the president and saying, hey, let's get this done because it hurt us on Tuesday, but more importantly, it's hurting the American people right now in real time.
Matt, should Republicans be doing that, especially after what we saw in the election?
When I first saw him, President Trump, talk about the shutdown as the reason for this, I immediately clocked it as there was breadcrumbs, so to speak, before even the results came out, that he was preparing to really pressure Republicans on the filibuster. There was a story in Axios came out about 6 o'clock on election night saying that he was going to hold Republicans to account to pressure them to undo the filibuster.
Right.
And I saw that as an extension of the strategy. By the exit polling, it doesn't seem the shutdown in and of itself, as opposed to, say, the economy, was really what the cause of Tuesday night was.
Yeah.
But it was a way for him to advance that. Now, certainly, as we see now with airlines, it's about to get real for a broader swath of the American public than before, not just folks on SNAP and not just folks who have insurance on the exchanges.
So, Jonathan, to that point, we reported earlier over 1,000 flights canceled so far, right?
No.
The last longest shutdown that we had, it was air traffic and those disruptions that were the pressure point that brought it to a close. Do you feel like the same thing could happen this time?
I mean, maybe, but I think there are several pressure points. And I'm one of those people who has been affected by a canceled flight. I might have another canceled flight, might have to jump a train. And nothing wrong with the train. But it could be a pressure point. But I do think Republicans, there are multiple pressure points here that precede the air traffic controllers. The exchanges, they opened up. The healthcare exchanges, folks are finding out right now how much their health premiums are going to shoot through the roof at the beginning of the year. There's the SNAP benefits issue, which the administration, thankfully, apparently just before we went on air, federal judge said, no, you, Mr. President, we are not going to hear your case.
Right.
The lower court ruling stands. It just, to me, it seems like there's a meanness and a cruelty here when you put all of these things together, using the shutdown, using these things to pressure Democrats to come to the table and come up with a deal. But again, I would argue the president should call in all the leaders, lock them in a room, and say, what are we going to do? And I think that Thune, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but maybe that's something that Thune and Speaker Johnson don't want to have happen, because the president probably would make a deal with Schumer and Jeffries, particularly on health care.
Matt, how do you look at that?
I think both leaders on the Republican side are very leery of any preconditions to opening the government beforehand. I think we saw this back when I was at the NRCC in 2013, when Ted Cruz shut down the government over Obamacare. Obama had this thing. We will not hold hostage reopening the government. And I think Republicans now on the other side of this have held to that same standard, because there will inevitably be another CR, whether it's January, whether it's December, whether it's next year. And setting down this path of now we can negotiate what we need to do to just simply keep the government open is a very, very tough path to hoe.
So if Democrats are offering now a one-year extension on those health care subsidies they've been asking for, you would not advise Republican leaders to take that?
It's a total non-starter, because we're right back into this right before the midterm elections next year. And I think many Republicans see a lot of danger in having that sort of thing happen. And even Leader Jeffries said on the other end that was a non-starter as well.
So in that case, I have to ask, where's the off-ramp?
That's where this comes down to. There has to be some magical path, I don't know what it is yet, where Schumer and Democrats can go to their base and say, hey, look, we got a pound of flesh. But then the White House and Republicans say, hey, we didn't cave either. That is a mystical tightrope to walk.
Indeed. Yeah. I see you want to move on to another topic.
If we're waiting on magic, I'm not sure how long we're going to be waiting. I do want to ask you about something else this week, which is big news in Congress, and that was Nancy Pelosi announcing that she is not going to run for re-election. This is talking about a woman, 85 years old now, who has been a force for four decades on Capitol Hill. Among the reactions, though, I have to say, to her announcement was this from New York Times columnist Michelle Goldberg, who wrote, quote, she's right to retire now, setting an example for a party with a serious gerontocracy problem. Jonathan, what do you make of that? Should more Democrats follow her lead?
I'll leave it to them. You know, sure, there are a lot of old people in Congress. There are a lot of old people in Congress on both sides of the aisle. Whenever folks are talking about the gerontocracy problem, I wonder, are they talking about the fact that they're old, or is it cover for they're old and they're not pushing the ideas to move the party forward? Hmm. I don't hear anyone demanding that Senator Bernie Sanders quit the Senate. No one's talking about him quitting the Senate, but he and Nancy Pelosi are on opposite sides of a whole lot of issues. So whether Senator Schumer should retire or other people should retire, I leave it to them. But you know, we're talking about the retirement of Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi. I've interviewed her several times. We've all probably have interviewed her many times. She is indefatigable. She is constantly working, constantly fundraising for Democrats, constantly trying to hold the line, whether it was President Trump, or trying to get the president's agenda through when it was President Obama, passing Obamacare without a single Republican vote. And she was very proud of that. And whenever I asked her any question about counting votes, she would always go to that I passed Affordable Care Act without a single Republican vote. She is consequential. So whether other old people in Senate should retire or in Congress should retire, whatever, Nancy Pelosi deserves her due.
She also was very notable in pushing another old Democrat out in Joe Biden last summer. It was, you know, when that was starting to abate a little bit, you think maybe Joe Biden can get through this terrible debate in the week's aftermath. Oh. She went on Morning Joe almost out of nowhere and really stuck the proverbial knife in his political career. And but she's been effective for both parties. Look, certainly, you know, with Jonathan for Democrats, had a ton of accomplishments of all the 25 years of legislative accomplishments for them. But candidly for us as well, we have numerous times put her in political ads when we wanted to win back the House. Mm-hmm. And she was a very effective boogeyman for our party as well. But let's be honest, with both her and Mitch McConnell leaving the scene in 2026, 2027, those sorts of deal makers, especially, for example, when we had the fiscal cliff back in 2010 or that whole thing, those were the deal makers. Those are the people that could get in a room with a Joe Biden and hammer a deal out. There's no one there this time.
Serious legislators. Yeah.
I do feel compelled to point out also President Trump was the oldest president ever inaugurated. So is there an age problem on the Republican side as well?
Again, but who's effective? You look in the debate stage in CNN, there's quite a difference between Trump and Biden.
I do worry about the current president's mental acuity on a whole host of issues.
We're going to save this for another conversation as well. When we have more time, I do want to get both of you to weigh in, if we can, on the passing of Dick Cheney, arguably the most consequential vice president in American history. How do you look at his legacy, Jonathan?
Sure, he was consequential for some bad things, you know, bad intelligence that got the United States into war in Iraq. But I do think as part of his obituary has to be what he did in his final years, and that was to do something that far too many Republicans still in this town refused to do, and that was to stand up to Donald Trump when he was offending the Constitution and the rights of the American people. And for that, I applaud him.
I remember an old story, him and Dan Quayle, the former vice president, were talking, and Quayle was telling him what the vice presidency is like. This is before Cheney took office. And Quayle said, really, it's pretty ceremonial. And Cheney, in his trademark kind of dour. He's like, the president and I have a different understanding. And isn't that the understatement of probably the decade? He changed that role, whether you're Joe Biden or J.D. Vance, certainly gave a path for them to follow, and really was able to pull levers in the administrative state that I think no one else since him has been able to do.
Complicated legacy, like so many leaders, consequential for sure. And of course, our thoughts are with his family. Matt Gorman, Jonathan Capehart, great to see you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.